Restore Me? Oxaloacetate scores in randomized controlled ME/CFS trial by Court Johnson, December 17, 2024. Oxaloacetate was quite the ticket for some people. Here we are back at the mitochondria. How we got here is quite the story. Oxaloacetate showed up in a table of dozens of dysregulated metabolites in an ME/CFS metabolomic study by the Hansen Group. It's not mentioned in the paper's result or discussion section. Nevertheless, an alert physician, Dr. David Kaufman, jumped on the finding and began trying the supplement in his patients. Looking at what oxaloacetate does, it's easy to see why Kaufman did that. Without oxaloacetate, the whole energy production process stops. More accurately, it never really gets started. There are two parts to aerobic energy, oxygen-derived metabolism. The first, called the Krebs citric acid or TCA cycle, take your pick of names, produces the two electron carriers NADH and FADH2, which transport electrons in the second part of the cycle. The OXPHOS cycle, where the bulk of the ATP is produced. Oxaloacetate begins the Krebs cycle, and at the end of it, is regenerated. Low oxaloacetate levels inevitably result in low levels of the two electron transporters, NADH and FADH2, an inhibited electron transport chain and low ATP production. That process, the authors proposed, triggered ME/CFS patients' cells to compensate by using the Warburg effect, a means by which cells create energy using glycolysis instead of aerobic energy production. Glycolysis occurs outside the mitochondria, produces a toxic substance called lactate, and produces much, much less energy. Oxaloacetate, it turns out, regulates the Warburg effect. While we don't know if the Warburg effect is alive and well in ME/CFS, some studies suggest it is. Kaufman called oxaloacetate's effect in some of his patients extraordinary and said he'd rarely seen such dramatic effects on fatigue. In 2021, he reported that at 1,000 mg twice per day, fatigue dropped about 35% on average in 52 patients he had been tracking. In 2022, a proof-of-concept open-label trial in 76 people with ME/CFS and 43 people with long COVID reported that 33% of the patients with ME/CFS and up to 46.8% of long COVID fatigue patients received more than 25% reduction in fatigue. And you can find out more about that at a link in the text version of the article. The study. What we really needed was a randomized placebo-controlled trial. And now we have it in Restore Me, an RCT of oxaloacetate for improved fatigue in patients with myalgic encephalomyelitis chronic fatigue syndrome. This trial dispensed with the lower doses explored in the earlier study and went straight to the 1,000 mg twice per day dosed. 82 people, 42 people with ME/CFS and 40 healthy controls, participated in the three-month trial which took place at the Bateman Horne Center. The participants were described as having mild to moderate ME/CFS. 35% were still working. The Chalder Fatigue Scale was the primary endpoint, the endpoint by which studies are judged a failure or success. Fatigue was reduced in the oxaloacetate group by 32% on the Chalder Fatigue Score, and 35% on RAND 36. The placebo group improved somewhat, but not significantly. Concerning functionality, the group that received oxaloacetate went from 9.1 moderate to severe fatigue to 6.6 moderate fatigue on the Chalder fatigue scale. Regarding their ability to carry out daily activities, they went from having, quote, significant fatigue that may affect their daily activities and overall well-being, end quote, to, quote, noticeable fatigue that could impact their daily life, end quote. The dataset shelved at a Harvard Dataverse shows that the fatigue reductions held firm over time. That is, similar fatigue reductions were found at the end of month 3 as were found in months 1 and 2. who you are matters. About 40% of the oxaloacetate group, however, were considered enhanced responders, more than 25% improvement. The paper did not provide their Chalder fatigue data, but a doubling of their fatigue scores would have left them, if my numbers are right, with an average Chalder fatigue score of 3.7 or mild to moderate fatigue, a big jump from the severe fatigue the entire group started off with. The Harvard Dataverse data, and you can see a link to that in the text version of the article, showed that the response to the supplement was very heterogeneous. Half the participants, 21 out of 42, either had no or very moderate 0 to 2 points improvements in their fatigue, or got a bit worse, down 1 to 4 points. Approximately 40% of the group, which received a score of 3 or higher, reported at least a 25% improvement in fatigue. 20% of the group with scores of 6 or higher surely received major benefits. Finally, 7% of the group with scores of 9 to 11 must have hit the ball out of the park. ME/CFS, then, is as tricky as ever, and heterogeneous responses to treatments remain the norm. Researchers are catching on, though, and are now more often looking to pluck out subsets of patients who respond well. Oxaloacetate is so expensive at $400 to $500 a month that, depending on how much money you have, it might only be worth it if you were in the enhanced response group. The oxaloacetate was well tolerated. The only two side effects noted were headaches in only 3 out of 42 participants and nausea in 3 out of 42 participants, which disappeared when they took the supplement with meals. But why? When oxaloacetate helped, it really helped, which brings up the question why and how it helped those it did. The authors outline several ways oxaloacetate may be helping: through lactate reduction, antioxidant protection, reduced inflammation, restoring NAD+ and NADH levels, and increased glucose uptake. Happily, this is not a one-and-done study that simply tells us whether a substance helps or not. The authors reported that metabolic analysis underway at several facilities are attempting to learn how oxaloacetate helped the ME/CFS patients it did. Those data should then help us understand what's going on in ME/CFS and identify which patients it might help. In the end, given oxaloacetate's cost, these analyses could be the most significant thing to come out of this study, as they're looking at what is potentially a sizable subset of ME/CFS patients. Asking AI ChatGPT what might have caused the low oxaloacetate levels brought up, unfortunately, a wide variety of possibilities. They included low carbohydrate availability, a possibility given the increased breakdown of amino acids in ME/CFS, low biotin / B3 niacin, a group focused on niacin supplementation in ME/CFS has emerged, mitochondrial dysfunction, low acetyl COA levels, hypoxia, low oxygen conditions, starvation. Interesting, given findings suggesting that metabolically ME/CFS resembles a state of starvation. The low oxaloacetate levels then could be due to general problems such as mitochondrial dysfunction, oxidative stress, or low oxygen levels, or to something more specialized such as genetic mutation, pyruvate carboxylase problems with malate and or citrate synthase. Mitochondrial enhancers getting attention. Another oxaloacetate trial appears to be underway at Dr. Nadelson's center. Instead of metabolomics, it will use brain imaging to determine if oxaloacetate improves antioxidant levels in the brain. Pair the two oxaloacetate studies with the two rapamycin trials underway. Each will also investigate different biological aspects, and we suddenly have a nice set of ME/CFS long COVID mitochondria trials. Plus, let's not forget David Systrom's mitochondrial enhancer trial, which ultimately failed, but provided potentially valuable biological data. We stand to learn much more about the mitochondria's role in these diseases. Health Rising donation drive update. Thanks to the over 220 people who have contributed to Health Rising's end of the year donation drive. This blog demonstrates what we love to do in Health Rising: dig into the data. For instance, the paper did not report on the day-to-day impacts of oxaloacetate. We had to dive into the meaning of the Chalder fatigue scores to get that. Likewise, it took checking out a separate data set to uncover the range of oxaloacetate's effects. Digging into that stuff is what makes blogs fun. If that supports you, please support us. Please support Health Rising during our year-end drive. You can give a one-time donation at the link between the end of the article and the beginning of the comments section